Guys and gals, welcome back to episode 110 of the Double Bogey Show. Today, we dove into what types of things in golf can be automated and what things can't be automated. We hope you guys enjoy the episode.
They piped that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book in another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
Okay, we are back.
We're here. Everyone's ready to go. We're all feeling good.
109. Woo.
I don't know what we are.
Okay, after that, start over.
Mitch, try one more woo. Give me less childish, more excited. Don't listen to Ryan.
Woo, let's go.
That's now I want you to meet in the middle somewhere. Save it for next episode.
Okay, also it's 110, Ryan, not 109.
Do it one more time. Woo, let's go, baby.
That was much better. We're getting closer. Still tone it down a tish, but that was good.
We're learning here.
Yes. Walk into the studio.
Can't believe what I just listened to.
It's fine. It's Mitch. The Prince
you did
of
make some good progress
yes,
from number one to number three. Though.
And all it took was three woos.
Yeah.
You're on your way to becoming Nature Boy himself. Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, big show. Lots of energy in the studio. Mitch was playing a trap remix of Final Countdown before we came in here.
Yep. Episode 110. It's windy, it's cold, the snow's coming.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been thinking about lately? What's been on your mind?
Hunting.
Really?
Hunting, that's it. Hunting, the simulator. My birthday's in a few days.
What day?
The Saturday.
It's on Saturday?
It is. So I'm gonna hunt the entire day and talk to no one.
But well, you're going to have to make sure your phone's off because people are going to be texting you.
Right, I will. I'll bring my phone in case I shoot one and need to call grandpa to like come bring the truck. But other than that, I'm just going to go hide in the woods.
Why can't you just go back and get the truck and then drive it out?
I got like a...
Because you like him to be a part of the kill as much as...
That, and I don't want to walk back to the truck, get the truck, drive back. Because I can't drive all the way to it. I hunt across a swamp that's really big.
That's kind of the fun part of it, though, is like driving back and just thinking about... Hey, like tags filled for the year. Mm-hmm. Like thinking about how everything went that morning. I went out last weekend. We shot one doe.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all we were going after. I got a buck tag, but honestly, I'm not really concerned about shooting a deer this year.
Yeah, I want to. I want to shoot a deer. Grandpa shot a doe immediately.
Really?
He bought this brand new, nice, like thousands of dollars stand. And
he did get his new stand.
Yep.
Because I remember your grandma was putting a kibosh to that right away.
Yes, but he did end up getting it. And we put it up. I risked my life climbing up onto the bucket of the tractor trying to get this. It was a shit show putting this stand together. But it's up. And then all for grandpa to sit in it for all of 25 minutes.
Well, I mean, that's you want to spend as least amount of time in the stand as possible.
Yeah. But that stand's so nice that I would have just hung out in there.
Sure.
It's
you got a heater in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's insulated. It's got a heater. It's basically
TV.
Soundproof. No TV.
You ever seen the deer stands with, it's basically just like a little cabin.
Yeah, my other grandpa has one of those.
I mean, there's like a kitchenette in there. Mm-hmm. There's like TV.
It looks like an ice castle without the holes in the floor and the bunk beds. That's exactly what it is.
Just holes in the walls for...
Just big windows,
Yeah, that's kind of sweet. Yeah, it's been really tough to get into golf... the golf mindset over the last couple of weeks, especially mm-hmm. with how fucking cold it's getting out. I mean, we have the simulator there. I was striping balls yesterday. It was interesting because you can take a couple weeks off from swinging
mm-hmm.
and you can come back and be like, wow, this feels good.
Yeah.
Or you can swing every day. And majority of the time it's like, wow, this feels like shit. Why is that? I feel like the more, like when do guys like us get the feel of our swing down? How many times and how many days a week and how consistent do we have to be like, all right, today's swing is the exact same as yesterday. All right, today's swing is the exact same as last week's. This is great. This is good muscle memory. I'm teaching myself good things. But instead, it's like, I saw this one thing online and I'm going to try that. And then it just fucks everything up.
Don't listen to any advice.
But it's kind of fun because I did implement, I remember I told you I had a little swing change I was mm-hmm. working on. I did that and my ball speed increased by like 5 miles an hour. Now I need to look myself
that?
In the mirror and say, Ryan, why do you need five more hours, five more miles an hour of ball speed? You don't. Just focus on hitting the ball straight. However, I think my lessons that I took this last year helped me out tremendously.
Right. I was just going to say, I will not listen to the internet ever again. I will listen. I won't listen to you. I won't listen to Grandpa Dave. The only person I will ever listen to from here on out for the rest of my golf career as far as swing advice is Lucas Johnson.
What if I just tell you to just calm down?
Nope.
What if I just tell you to have fun?
Oh, I'll look, swing advice, though. Swing advice. I'm not listening to you, Grandpa, the internet, no one but Lucas. I only need one voice in my head. I can't have 15.
God, well, where was I going to go with that? I don't remember.
So, all right. Off to a good start.
I mean, my mind is working a million miles an hour right now, and sometimes my voice cannot keep up with it. Mm. It's like someone had commented, someone had DM'd us about how disappointed they were about the Amanda Bynes All That bit last week that we had talked about. I can't even remember what it was relating to, but my mind was working so fast. The first thing that came out of my mouth was All That with Amanda Bynes. Irrelevant.
Oh, on YBR?
No, I think it was. I think it was on this one.
I think it was on YBR. What the
I think it was You Betcha Radio.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, our other podcast, Sound World Podcast, can be found. Go check it out.
Now, nice plug. The reason I kind of wanted to start talking about hunting and then transition to golf because Jacob Granato, he had sent us a message yesterday. I thought this was a really good question. He's like, "Hey, for the next Q&A, I want you guys to ask this question." I'm like, "Jacob, I'm not going to wait till the next Q&A. I'm just going to ask this today on the pod." He asked, who spends more money on unnecessary gimmicks or equipment, hunters or golfers?
Oh, I thought you were talking about you and me. It's like clearly right.
No. Hunters or golfers?
Fuck.
What demographic spends more money on gimmicks for that sport?
That's a really good question.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Because when you look at the hunting side of things, if you're obsessed with scent control, man, that is a deep, deep hole in the wallet that you can get into. You can get into, obviously, the spray, the thermocells.
Dude, they have fucking scent control gum.
Scent control gum. When I was in high school, I was a big proponent of, like, I had to wash my clothes in Scentaway. Mm-hmm. And I had to chew the scent control gum.
I never went that far, but I went as far as scent control pit stick.
And I had the pit stick. I also had the body wash.
Yep.
And it's like, you don't feel clean after that, but also you're in the woods. You shouldn't really feel clean regardless.
No, scent control was a big part of my early life. I still do it to a degree, but not to the former degree. I was just like you, wash it in the scent wash, but then I wouldn't dry it. I would dry it outside, hang it up so it would smell like outside, and then it would go into an airtight tote. And then
the airtight Scentaway tote.
Yep.
It's like,
I didn't realize it was this hard. Like, you guys went this hard on it.
Yeah, dude. But the thing is like, when you buy that stuff, it does last a while.
It does last a long time.
Yeah.
The scent tote, I have one.
Me too.
You're going to be able to, and it's literally held like my coyote hunting gear for the last 8 years. I haven't taken it out. So if I ever want to just fly under the radar with no scent, those are the clothes. I've never taken those clothes out in 8 years.
So that you can't smell a fucking thing.
You can't.
There.
No, not even like a deer or a wolf or anything with great scent can smell that.
Yeah. I also used to use an Ozonics.
Yep. Again, the ozone layer.
That one is expensive, but dad bought that. So
I used to have a little phone clip that would attach to my quiver. So I'd take my quiver off in the stand and I would attach this so I could hook my phone in there and I could literally videotape where my shot's going and like essentially videotape my hunt.
So the more we talk about this, it's easy. Hunters.
But we haven't even dove into golf.
I don't buy
yet.
Shit for golf. I don't buy balls.
I don't think it's about you. I think it's about in general.
In general?
Yeah. People are buying like the funky tees. People are buying the punching bags that hang off the side of the cart.
What is that called? The bogey bag or something?
Something like that.
I would like to knock the shit out of one of those at some point.
People are buying the phone clips that attach to the railing of your cart. People are buying tripods now that they can literally just carry with them on the course or like put in their bags so they can record their swings.
Really?
That seems a bit extra.
Yeah.
I mean, think of the amount of golf gimmicks out there.
There are a ton.
The clubs, the balls.
Balls. You got Cody had this, the nut sack that you hang on your bag that just holds two balls in it.
Yes.
For no reason.
The funny head covers.
Yep. You got the big swingy warm-up stick.
The swing stick.
Ball grabbers. 55 different types of divot fixers.
Yes.
There's the one where you can trace your ball. There's the switch blade. There's the fixed blade. There's the
yes.
one that holds a tee. The one that has a pencil sharpener.
The one that has a magnetic ball marker.
Yeah. ball marker gadgets. You got hat clips. You got glove ones in the back of your gloves. You got the big poker chip that has another ball marker inside the poker chip.
Well, now they're selling like these. It's almost like a... I'll say Yeti because it's comparable. It's almost like a Yeti style tumbler mug with where the bottom screws mm-hmm. off and they got shot glasses in there. You can hold your booze in there with like your mixer on top. All of that kind of stuff.
You sneak shit in. It's to sneak stuff in. Mm.
So it's a very good question.
I feel like that stuff's less expensive though than the hunting stuff.
I would agree with that.
Yes.
It's like an Ozonix. We didn't explain what that was.
Trail cameras.
Trail cameras are
another
expensive.
One.
An Ozonix, you hang it above your head in your tree and it releases this chemical that kills your scent.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
It is.
Sounds like, very expensive.
So, damn, these are two really expensive hobbies to get into.
So I know I can answer for me personally, hunting, for sure. I buy more dumb shit for hunting and unnecessary gimmicks.
And trail camera's not a gimmick. Some of those are not gimmicks. But like, you know, the scent killer that I feel like you can make, think about how they...
To a point, I think it's completely unnecessary. Like, I'm not ever, ever putting on scent killer pit stick again.
Correct.
Because I'm putting it in just my armpits. What about the rest of my body?
Exactly.
I'm not going to pit stick my balls. It gets sweaty down there, too. That stinks just as bad.
I know.
Probably puts out more than any other part.
Right. And I'm not going to go crazy with pit stick there.
Yeah.
I'm never going to chew that gum. It's disgusting. I've tried it.
Yeah, it's not good.
And does my breath really smell bad enough for the deer to run off?
I don't. I get it like, what's the word I'm trying to think of? As deer start to adapt to certain things as generations go on.
Evolution.
Evolution or survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. I understand like deer smell has probably increased over the last 50 to 100 years, but imagine how those guys back in the day used to hunt. Like probably no camouflage. They didn't have compound bows. They probably just shot recurves. Mm-hmm. And they shot guns with no scopes on them, just iron sights with, you know.
Grandpa shot iron sights until like 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So to answer the question, I think I would agree. I think hunters would spend more on gimmick equipment than golfers would.
How about this answer? Hunters will spend more money on it. Golfers will have more of them.
That's a pretty good layout of the whole thing. Because again, camo is another thing. It's like we have the next revolutionary camo to where not even night vision goggles can see you in the woods. You know? Yeah. Or like this camo eliminates all heat sensor activity. So if someone's trying to find you with night vision, they can't see you.
Yeah, it also eliminates echolocation, so even the bats don't know where you are.
Yeah.
Thank God I was totally hiding from bats.
I mean, you could literally
hunter.
You could go to Fleet Farm and get like a $50 set of pants and coat and if the conditions are right, you're going to be completely fine. Well,
not, like most hunters are rifle hunting in the stand.
There. However, at the same time though, Tyler, polos and shorts and shoes, they kind of sit in the same direction. Yeah. It's like we buy unnecessary polos just because we like the brand and we think it's cool.
Yeah.
You guys buy our stuff because you like the brand, you think it's cool. You could just get an old t-shirt from 10 years ago and a pair of shorts and go hit the course. Mm-hmm.
I actually sold like 15 polos yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Why?
Because I had 50 of them.
Give them to somebody. I'm sure there's guys here that would wear them.
I sold them.
Too late. You could buy a fucking more scent killer, probably.
Mm-hmm. I sold them so that I could buy you a Christmas present.
You don't need to buy me a Christmas present.
I'm too late. I'm already doing it.
If anything, just, I don't know. Don't get me anything.
It's in the mail.
Already? I mean, it's not even Black Friday yet.
I was going to say, get the deals on Black Friday.
I found
a
deal already better than Black Friday.
No shit.
Yeah.
The new driver?
No.
Okay.
Conversation over.
Great question, Jacob. I think That's a tough one to answer, because we've come to find out that a lot of our a lot of you guys listening, a lot of people following the page are also hunters themselves.
Yes.
I think we're just discovering this, so I think it warrants us being able to talk about it a little
nice
bit more.
It's nice that we can talk about something else as well.
Yeah, because again, it's tough. The wind's howling about 40 miles an hour right now. It's going to snow tomorrow, 8 to 12 inches.
Tonight, the wind's going to calm down, and it's going to snow tomorrow. Tonight's the fucking night. If you don't have to work tonight, get in the stand.
Yes.
Why, do it. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, the night before, if the wind calms down like it's supposed to, there will be deer all over the place, because it's supposed to start snowing at like midnight, so they're going to be moving earlier. And if the wind isn't whipping, they'll be out. Find some food and sit.
Go get on it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, enough about that. Next topic I want to talk about, we got the new match coming up.
Yes.
I don't know when it is. I believe it's in December, mm-hmm. January, February, March, maybe April. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
All I know is it's Tiger and Rory, homeboys.
Yes.
Actually, I think JT and Tiger are more homeboys than Rory and Tiger, but Rory and
really?
Tiger are at the top of the PGA right now. Against JT and Jordan Spieth. 2v2, it's 12 holes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's at a course in Florida.
Okay.
Starts at about 6:30, so I'll get 12 holes in, probably be dark after that. What do you think of the 12-hole format?
I like it.
I kind of do too, but I'm always wanting more.
I like it for us. I want to watch more golf when it's this type of match.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, I haven't had a golf tournament on in months.
I haven't had one on since President's Cup.
I didn't even watch that. I haven't had one on since the Open, probably.
Damn.
So.
Damn.
But I am going to be locked into this.
Yeah.
Because when you take Rory and Tiger in the match against JT and Jordan Spieth, then you roll into this simulator league that they're starting this winter,
yep.
whenever that's going to happen. I mean, the PGA Tour is doing whatever they can to compete now. Because, Tyler, I don't know if you saw this, but Twitter account, it's called Live Tracking.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, this isn't for sure yet, but based off the comments, they haven't been wrong yet. Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay to the Live.
No way.
Did not expect that.
Schauffele's a big get. Cantlay's like, that one doesn't surprise me as much as Schauffele does.
Cantlay's like the Kirk Cousins of golf, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, he could be like a, you know, 30-some-year-old dad picking his kid up from the school pickup line. And like, or he could be like the 21-year-old, like, I'll have your daughter home by 9.
Yep.
Or he can be iced out in Justin Jefferson's chains and just absolutely be going nuts on the plane ride home. I feel like that's Cantlay too.
Yeah. Well, like, if we know anything about Kirk Cousins, he'll follow the money.
100%.
So, wow.
It's interesting because, and again, this is not official. I only saw this on Twitter, but if Cantlay and Schauffele go to the Live, I mean, there's not a lot of big names left.
It's, yeah. Yeah, dude. It's becoming more and more real. What kind of money do they have to throw at them at this point?
Couple hundred milli.
Jesus, fuck. Who's going to be left? They'll still have, like, they still got other young guys. Morikawa, they got Scotty Scheffler, Rom. Yep. Rory's still there. Both JT and Spieth are still there. So they still have big names.
They do.
But the PGA talks so much shit about the Liv's talent pool being diluted. What about your talent pool now?
Diluted.
You're going to have to start letting them play in majors, or they can flip and turn the same argument you used on them on you.
Or you can just go the easy route. PGA can buy out the Liv, or the Liv can buy out the PGA. For billions and mm-hmm. billions and billions of dollars.
Well, I think they agree to a partnership, and we have the NFC and the AFC.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that's
Thank
where
you.
It's going to go.
That's where I was headed
yep.
next. You could go, you know, we're talking about the match. You can set these matches up as Liv versus PGA. Mm-hmm. If Liv gets world golf rankings and PGA gets world golf rankings, let's separate those two, and let's take number one versus number one. Let's take number two versus number two and so on down the line.
Well, I would like to just see, like, how many people are in a field? Like 100?
Yeah.
90 or something
like that? I
think
so, yeah.
So let's just, at the end of the year, you take the top 25 from each league, throw it in. Everyone made the cut.
So, and then it's just everyone versus everyone.
Yep.
But I think for these...
And then you keep a point system, like for first through whatever, you earn points, and then there's a team winner decided, but it's all based off of individual placement.
And that's fine too. I'm more so talking about the matches where it's just like it's a big money grab. You get some big names to play one match against each other. I think you go Live versus PGA. How can you not?
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
But I mean, is that on? I mean, today is it, they call it Super Tuesday today, or is that on? It's election day. You used to work in the news.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, I think
you're right. I think it is Super Tuesday.
I think on the ballot, we need a measure to go Live versus PGA.
What measure number would that be? What does LIV stand for? 54?
54, yeah.
Measure 54.
Measure 54. Greg Norman is spearheading the Live versus PGA measure on today's ballot. That would be...
You got my vote, Greg.
You got mine, too. The people want to see it. And in order to make a lot of money, you do stuff that the people want to see.
Uh-huh.
The people are sick and fucking tired of the PGA bitching them up. Leave God. They're just a money.
Accept
money
it.
Who gives a shit? I mean, it's going to happen.
I like both leagues. I think the PGA is being babies. I think the Liv is being a little pretentious at times. I like both leagues. Just get over it. You're going to have to live with each other for a long time now.
Nice.
It's totally unintentional. Just stop the bickering and make it fucking work, because neither one's going anywhere.
And I get the political... the political drive behind it, mm-hmm. right? But if you're just looking at that in particular, I think you're looking at the wrong thing.
Yep.
So we still haven't made it to a Live event. We've been to some PGA events. I'll tell you what, I mean, PGA events are lit.
Yeah, they're fun.
They're fun.
But if everything they say about a Live event being more exciting, or as far as like a party atmosphere, yeah. I'd be very curious to see it.
I mean, regardless of all, if everyone leaves the PGA, I'll still go to Waste Management.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely litty titty.
If everyone leaves the PGA, the Waste Management is going to become more of a party because it's less of the stuffiness.
I know.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
More
beers.
So
we'll see what happens. I mean, things are still getting shaken up.
Yep.
The Liv is not, they're not fully solidified, so they're going to keep making moves until they are.
God.
Now with that, golf is starting to evolve as...
We never talked about we didn't go in depth out of the match at all.
Well, I kind of wanted just to get to the Liv versus PGA match. What about this next match would you like to talk about?
The fact that it is the old legends versus the people that are supposed to replace them, but I do not think in any way, shape, or form that JT and Spieth fill the shoes of Tiger and Rory.
Do they beat them, though?
Probably. I mean, both... Well, I don't know. Rory's fucking hot right now.
He's number one in the world.
And Tiger's Tiger.
Is Tiger following similar track to Tom Brady?
Yeah, dude, but he's been in... Tom Brady hasn't been in multiple car accidents and had his entire body reconstructed.
Yeah, I understand that.
They're both battling father time and losing. But Tiger has multiple car accidents on top of father time,
yeah,
dragging his ass down.
The DMV has got to take Tiger's license away. I mean, like, he's got enough money to just hire a driver. And I get, mm-hmm. maybe he likes to just hit the open road and think about nothing. But or maybe Tiger and Tesla need to do some sort of partnership so he can get self-driving.
That would be a great idea.
And it's like, the Tesla is not driving the cars. Someone is behind a computer screen driving the Tesla for Tiger, so the man can still hit the open road and enjoy some alone time by himself.
Tesla, even Tiger can get home safe.
That's actually a great ad campaign, Tyler. I mean, it's true. Tiger has to understand that
the man likes to drive out on the range and he likes to drive out on the open road.
What does that have to do with anything we just fucking said, Mitch?
It's a driver joke. It's a driver joke.
And there is dad joke number one from Mitch. I had to get into
the Prince of
Parmesan.
I
had to play in India on that one in particular.
It wasn't
my
best material.
No.
No, it wasn't, but it, yeah. Okay.
I do think Tesla could make a pretty good partnership with Tiger.
Thank you, Mitch.
I think that's...
Thanks for agreeing with me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it should have been Tiger Rory versus like Morikawa and who else is really young.
Yeah, but I don't feel like Morikawa is as big of a grab as JT and Spieth. Do you know that JT and Spieth have been playing golf together since they've been like 12?
Yeah, I know this.
And I think that's the backstory.
But they're trying to do this young versus old thing. JT and Spieth aren't the young guys anymore.
I mean, they're still in their like mid to late 20s.
I know, but they're
our age.
They are not the young guys anymore. They've been in the PGA since they were like 19.
But are they trying to do young versus old?
That's the whole point of it.
Where did you read that at?
The article. When they announced the match, like the whole point of this is like the legends versus the new guys. Like the whole point of this
is the new guys.
I know. I understand. Ryan, stop. You know what I'm saying.
Go on.
They're trying to paint it as this young versus old situation, and they're just not the young guys anymore. I want to see Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler, or I mean, maybe Morikawa and Zalatoris versus these two.
Not as big of a grab, though.
I know, but that's the young versus old I want to see. JT and Spieth also. Why is no one talking about this? They're fucking brothers. Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, I cannot keep them straight. They look the exact same.
They do.
Why? They're related. They have to be.
They're not, though.
I
think they've just spent so much time together. You know, I feel like when you start dating someone for a long period of time, or you get married, like you kind of start to look like them a little bit in a sense. I don't know what's behind that, but they've been playing. I mean, look at that first photo. They've been playing together for so long. I think they've just started to look like each other.
They do look very similar.
Thank you. When we were at the Ryder Cup, if they didn't have names on boards, I would have had no clue. Like I can tell on TV when you're right at their face.
Yeah.
But when we were there in person, I have no idea. Like that could be one of them.
Especially in the same uniforms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their face structure is just very similar.
Now, how do you make these matches as exciting as the first and second one? Because I feel like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Phil and Tiger, that 2v2 match was, it was the first one. So it was like all the excitement going into it. That was electric. Now you got pro golfers versus pro golfers versus like pro amateur.
Yeah. I really liked having the football players in it.
I did too. Because it really like, yeah, go ahead.
It's not watching another PGA event.
Yep.
Because like these four guys have played each other before.
Yep.
Just not in this team style of format, but they've played each other a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have played Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Peyton Manning.
And I think it's more relatable to guys like us.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm less excited about this one than I have been about others just because they don't have, I mean, they obviously cannot get a football player right now.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the season. It's not going to work. But yeah, it's actually a really bad time for athletes in general.
Mm-hmm.
So go out and
almost every sport's going on right now.
Yeah. So go out and get like a Charles Barkley and who else? Who'd else be a good celebrity guest for this?
Terry Bradshaw. I'm surprised.
Mark Wahlberg. He plays a lot of golf.
Do Marky Mark.
Yeah.
And
T Brad's mid football season though.
True.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. He
could take.
I think Marky Mark would be he'd be a good grab.
Not against Charles Barkley though. That's unfair.
Yeah. 100%.
He's way better than 100%. Barkley. Marky Mark and who? And who? And who?
I don't know.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. If MJ was in one, and we've talked about this before, but if MJ was in a match, people would, mm-hmm. the internet
Why
would
hasn't
blow
he
up.
Been?
Dude, he flies under the radar. The only publicity that he's had over the last couple of years is The Last Dance.
Yeah, why?
The documentary.
Is he doing that on purpose? Is he just trying
to
chill? I mean, he made a golf course.
I feel like you guys talked about that.
The members list on that golf course is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But with all this match talk and the LIV versus PGA, you can, and just the world in general, I want to get to this segment. Computers are replacing people. I want to talk about after the break, what things in golf do you think can be automated and what things do you think can't be automated?
Number one, podcast producers. I'm just kidding, Mitch.
Oh, no.
After the break, we'll talk to you. Love it.
All right, in this next segment, we're going to talk about things in golf that can be automated. And, I mean, we have one right off the bat. Winter golf is already automated.
The entire sport.
You know where it's automated at? Carl of ET.com.
Yeah, Carl's place, baby, the sim.
We have had we've had a number of people send us photos of their Carl's Place orders, mm-hmm. and it fucking gets me jacked
me
up.
Me too.
Because I know how that simulator makes me feel during this time of the year, and I know how it's going to make them mm-hmm. feel once they get mm-hmm. it set up, once they can start playing full 18 rounds, once they can get their buddies over there, having some beers, get the family in there, let the kids play in there. It's a recipe for success in the wintertime here in the Midwest.
If I shoot a deer on Saturday, I have 100% intentions of planting my ass in the simulator here on Sunday and watching football all fucking day.
Really?
I'm going to watch football in the simulator, and I'm going to play golf during every commercial break and every halftime.
That's kind of sweet. Have it up in the window behind.
Yep.
Yeah, that's actually really good.
So I'm going to have the game up, because all you got to do, it's a computer, guys. All you got to do is minimize the game and then play golf.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the commercial's done.
No, you can even just pull the game over to the TV.
Yeah, make that it a is tiny perfect.
Because the TV acts as our monitor.
Yep. So yeah, we have the simulator, the giant projector screen as a monitor, and then we also have a TV as a monitor set to it. So I just move the game over to the other TV, watch for the commercial be done, and then bring it back to the sim, sit down, and then when it goes to commercial again, I hit my next shot. I'm very excited. I got to shoot a deer, though, because if it's on Sunday, if I don't shoot a deer, I'll be in the stand again.
I don't need to. I'm maybe just sleep in this weekend. I'm okay. Not as diehard as I used to be.
You're getting old.
Anyway, guys, get yourself in on one. CarlOfET.com, CarlOfET.com. The people have been sending us the photos. Mm-hmm. They've been using promo code mm-hmm. Double Bogey, 10% mm-hmm. off.
Save good money with that,
enclosures,
guys.
Enclosures, launch monitors, and you don't need the Mac Daddy package. You can get one for $800. You can get one yep. for $2,000. You can get one for $10,000.
Yep.
It all depends on your budget. Give their customer service line a call. They're going to help you set up your space exactly how you need it. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you're not going to regret it.
Tomorrow, for you guys, our first video in the simulator is coming out.
Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Get ready, guys. You get to see it in all its glory for the first time, other than a story.
You can play PGA 2K23 on the uh-huh. simulator. You can do more than just play golf. Uh-huh. It's literally three walls of entertainment.
Yes.
So go check them out, guys. Carl's Place. You won't regret it. All right. Winter golf is already automated with Carl's Place. Now, again, what got me thinking was I was at the polls this morning, and you know, you can basically just vote on the computer. They don't even need someone mm-hmm. there to, like, you know, I don't know if they don't look over your shoulder, but you don't need a physical copy. So it got me thinking, as we progress in technology, what types of things in golf do you think can be automated?
Number one, I want this for the Jades in our life. All the people that magically find their ball. All the people that maybe fudge a little bit here and there. And I want to have the option to turn this off or on. I want automatic score counters. I want something to truly keep track of our score for when we're playing money. You don't have somebody hitting it into the woods on the far side of the fairway from your ball and then saying they magically found it. And you have no idea if they truly found it or not. I want something. I don't know what
that is. So what do you mean by a shot counter? If someone finds a ball that you don't think is theirs.
Yeah, if they find a ball that's not theirs, it knows. It knows it's not theirs. Or they find it and it's just barely OB and they tap it back in.
So more so of a, like a...
I only want this...
Kind of like a chip in a ball that like a...
Like a Bluetooth.
Yeah, almost like a Sweet Shots ball or a Topgolf ball where it like knows where it is, right?
And they have that. However, I've heard it's junk.
Like the ball is shitty?
Yes.
Or
the technology on your phone is shitty too, because it'll tell, it's like a GPS. It'll tell you where your ball's at.
Okay.
But it's not to where it needs to be. So eventually, yes, I would agree.
Because I need this for when we are playing, and this will help too with cheaters and scrambles, right? Like I need this for when we play games for money. Because I don't want to have that like, oh, that's not his fucking ball. Because I don't want it to be his ball. Then I'm just a grumpy dick. One. And two, it just keeps people honest when you're playing for money or you're playing in a scramble or you're playing for keeps or something, right? But then you have the option to turn that off if it's just a casual Saturday round and you don't actually give a shit. Turn it off. I don't care if you're taking a foot wedge. I don't care if you're pulling it in from out of bounds. I don't care if you found a ball and you decide to play it.
Well, and I don't even think it's an on-off. I think it's just you program it into like the screen of your golf cart mm-hmm. or you just don't program it, in which then not going to track it. I think as something like this becomes more mainstream with like the GPS trackers inside of a ball, like if you lose a ball, for instance, you're in the pond, you're middle of the pond. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that ball's gone. However, you know, it's mainstream enough. It's like TVs and how the price of TVs has dropped.
Yep.
Something like that would be like, it's just a $6 golf ball now. Yep. I mean, you hit Pro V1s, there's a $5 golf ball in the lake. Mm-hmm. You grab a new ball, you reprogram it into the system with like, you know, basically just a little whatever it may be. And then your shots continue to count with that ball.
Yes.
So I do think something like that will come along the way. Now, golf ball manufacturers they're not going to be happy because the amount of balls being lost is going to decrease mm-hmm. by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you find like imagine this ball is like a $100 golf ball and someone's technology just like flares out on them and they can't find it. And then you're looking for balls on your round and you come across a GPS ball.
Yeah.
It's like the holy grail of finding a ball in the woods or in the fescue or wherever. And it's like, doesn't even matter how the rest of the round went. It's like finding a Pro V1 these days. Mm-hmm. I just found the GPS tracker.
Yeah. What do we call it?
We'll get back to that.
We'll brainstorm.
Yeah, we need
we'll
to brainstorm on that one.
But I do think this technology is going to be really hard to do because the more tech you put in a ball, the shittier that ball is going to be.
Yeah, I think they can figure it out, though.
Right. I think golf has come a long way since it started.
Well, I think
it can get there.
And I think the clubs can play a role in that as well.
Yeah. Why not this? When we hit on the simulator, it immediately knows where our ball is going to go.
Math equation.
Why can't we have some sort of launch monitor situation or something like the simulator that immediately knows where your ball should go on the tee box? So then you get it on the screen in your cart. It tells you like your ball should be here.
So
it could like even factor in with like the weather, like your weather app,
yeah.
Like take into account wind and all that stuff.
Right.
And, like factor in your club speed and all that stuff from the face of your driver. Like, I don't see it as much of a reach. You could totally do that.
So here's what happens. The launch monitor is somehow implemented into the golf cart. It's like a TrackMan mm-hmm. or a Foresight. It's a launch monitor that you either put behind or to the side of you. So on these golf courses, you have a designated spot on the tee box specifically. Like, if it's in the fairway, you can roll up to whatever side you want.
Yep.
But on the tee box, you maybe pull up behind the tee box, mm-hmm. right? And the simulator screen, if you will, on an actual golf course is a screen in a golf cart.
Yes.
A lot of courses are up in their golf cart game now to where they got the GPS mm-hmm. screens. Mm-hmm. So your buddies can sit in the cart while you're hitting and they can see exactly or really close where your ball is going on the actual course.
Right. And like, think about whoever hits.
I think that's more realistic than GPS in the ball.
Yeah.
I think having built-in launch monitors
mm-hmm.
on golf carts would be unbelievable.
You wouldn't lose anything because like you would know, you'd have a number one, you have a very close idea where the ball is from the launch monitor. Number two, you're watching it. The guy that's hitting the ball isn't looking at the monitor, he's looking at the ball. So he already has the line. He has the general idea. And then if you look at the screen, your partner's like, yeah, it should be right up by this tree. And you're going to be within a 10-foot range of that ball. So the leaf rule there, we might lose the leaf rule because you're going to have a pretty damn close idea where your ball is.
Or it's a little device that, you know, it's got like a little storage compartment in the golf cart. Mm-hmm. That device is synced up to the screen in the golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
One of your playing partners, or if you're golfing solo, just you take it with you, put it behind you, you put it to the side of you, and then it reads your ball off the tee,
mm-hmm.
and it syncs straight up into the TV of the golf cart.
Right, and then also like think about this: like golfing solo morning rounds, sun is rising, and there's certain holes where it's directly in your face. You hit a ball, you have no idea where it went. Now you do.
Or you can sync it up with your phone.
Yeah.
If you're not into riding and you're going to walk, you can have that your phone on your push cart. You can have your launch monitor next to you. It's just a small, because everything compacts, mm-hmm. right? The iPhone, the computer.
Yeah, how long?
The iPhone, it's all compacted now. It's how small can we get these things?
Mm-hmm.
The launch monitor can be shrunken down and you can literally play simulator golf out in the open and know exactly where your ball
went. We're combining the two best things of golf. It's one, being outside, and two, the simulator.
And being able to find your ball. Uh-huh. It speeds up pace of play. It's going to decrease the amount of lost balls, so you're going to save some money.
Uh-huh. And then it's like, you know how much we love finding balls? Finding balls after this invention will become so much sweeter.
There also has to be some sort of like alert or whatever, if it, because no simulator, no launch monitor is perfect. Mm-hmm. Some of them aren't going to read your shot. However, mm-hmm. you also can see that shot.
Yes.
So you have a general idea of where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You can maybe just on like your little device, you can click like shot didn't read, and then it moves to the next one. Wherever you push your card up to, like that's where it's going to read the next mm-hmm. shot.
Or you just mark it when you find your ball. Like yeah. this is where it landed.
Yep.
Like on the program, you yeah. like you select my name and then you mark like yep. this is where it landed yep. in GPS.
You manually
like,
enter the shot in.
Do I think that this invention is a long ways away? Yeah.
20 years.
Yep.
But look at how much technology's come since early 2000s.
Right. Like when were simulators even invented?
Don't know. Can we look that up?
Yep.
Because I feel like early 2000s is probably the number.
Like this is I do like this idea.
Like this one, my next one is not nearly as practical.
1970s.
Early
1970s.
Shit.
Yep.
Wow.
And imagine what they were like in the 1970s. Awful. The beer is the same.
True.
But the technology was not.
I want pictures.
That's wild.
Those are just nice ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I can see it happening. Don't put it past anybody.
Like I think golf is headed in that direction.
Imagine if Apple came out with a launch monitor.
Right. Like think of how long until it's just our phone. Like
exactly.
Like Carl's Place can now just sell us an app. Then the app reads it from our phone camera.
Then you can record yes. all those shots too and like go back and yep. like look at it. Yes. And like
well, we can already do and that. But like, how long until it's just in our phone on like a little Joby tripod?
It puts an automatic, well, is that, I mean, Shot Tracer apps, do they do that?
I don't know.
But they don't have GPS.
Well, like we use a Shot Tracer application right mm-hmm. now for our videos, and it's not nearly as intuitive as our simulator. But like how yeah. long until they meet?
It's just a math equation.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Well, I didn't know you were gonna start it off like that because I think the segment's over now.
No, I got another good one.
I got one. Okay.
I was
one
gonna
too.
Say I got a good one as well.
All right, so my automation for golf in the future is automated range ball pickers. Okay. So instead of having someone hop out into the cart and people, you know, pegging balls, which is a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, yes. but a lot of courses and facilities get pissed off
at that. Well, because there's real people in there.
Correct. I mean, they made the Roomba for vacuuming people's houses. Yes. Why can they not just make an R2-D2 yes. type of
yes.
deal? They got ones that mow the lawns.
They got ones
they do have lawn Roombas.
They got yeah. lawn Roombas. Why can't you have one of them for ball pickers? It's yeah. big enough. Maybe it picks up like 150, 200 balls at a time, but mm-hmm. also like just keep sending that thing around.
Yeah, it can run all day. And you get a little solar charge on it, or it's got a charging station just like a Roomba.
It's got solar. Yeah, that's all you'd need.
You set a geofence like along the range yep. and yep. it just goes back yep. and forth. Yep.
Now,
hell yeah.
I also like.
Also, I would love hitting that thing more.
Yeah, it's got.
Because it's like there's no feelings hurt when you, well, until the machines take over, this thing will come after you. But there's no person that you're aiming at. You're aiming at a machine.
Yeah. Now, again, this could be a long ways out and this could be very expensive at the get-go. But if they can do it for mowing lawns and they can do it for vacuuming houses, yeah. why can't they do it to pick range balls?
Dude, they totally can. This one, I believe, this is not far off.
This is in the next 5 years.
Why couldn't yeah. it mow and pick range balls at the same time?
You'd fuck the balls up if it had blades.
Well, no, the balls get like picked up yeah, in front yeah, so of you like, by a vacuum. Yeah, the vacuum's in front, the mower's behind.
Yeah. Any ball that it misses gets ejected right back at the golfer so the machines can strike back.
That's how they start their takeover.
Now, yeah. the other end of this, too, what I had for what I don't think automation can take over for is greenskeepers. Now, thinking about this thing mm-hmm. and having the geofence set up, like, can this possibly take over for greenskeepers and people mowing fair, like the ground screw, essentially?
Potentially.
You just tell it to adjust blade length when it gets within, like, a certain like geofenced area. So like,
yeah.
Well, I think greens mowers have like a very special type of blade. So like, yeah,
everything's getting smaller.
Yeah. I don't know. I want the greenskeepers to keep their jobs.
I do too. I do. I think they do a fantastic job. I mean, even like you could aerate a green in about 3 minutes with one of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. The machines, man.
I don't know. This or you even have like a remote, it's like a remote control. So like the guy, he can do the exact job that he wants to with a remote control.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Something to think about.
Think about that though. Like if it was completely automated, it could be done before we even get to the course in the morning. So then there's like first tee time is earlier.
It could do it overnight.
Yeah. You just have them running at night.
And they have GPSs in them in case someone wants to steal one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It runs from like 2 to 5.
Like, yeah, like most. If
tee time is 6.
Yeah, if you know anything about lawns, you know that you're supposed to water when it's dark so the sun doesn't burn off your water and your lawn actually gets hydrated.
Yep.
Do the same thing. You run your sprinklers at night. Run your lawn service at night.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I do have a good hybrid one where you don't completely lose the human aspect, but it's better automated.
Hit me.
Bev carts.
Mine has something to do with the Bev cart too. But I went the other approach. I don't want the human element taken out at all.
Exactly. That's where I'm going with this. Okay. Is where
continue.
You place your drink order specific, like this would be on your cart. You put your drink order in. The Bev cart will bring it out to you.
They have
They do that.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, you order on the screen.
Oh, I thought that was just for the clubhouse. And like you show up at the end of your round and...
They'll come to you.
Oh,
There's places that have drones too that'll bring them out.
Yeah,
to you.
They like literally drone deliver it, which I don't like. I want the Bev card interaction.
I agree. I think that's a big it's a big grab for golfers getting out and interacting with the Bev card.
Yes. Yes.
That's the shitty part about a Bev card is like sometimes you won't see her. You'll see her on like maybe 1-2 holes through your 18. It'd be better if like you could just put in your like I want a whiskey 7. At hole 7 and hole 12 and hole 16.
Ooh, I like that ahead of the round.
It's
like
a mobile bartender.
Yeah, you can schedule it ahead of the time. I like that. Like you're in the clubhouse and they're like, hey, when do you want drinks? I'm like, I want drinks here, 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 and here.
Yep.
Or they have drink kiosks.
Yes.
Like by the bat, like they have pop machines by the bathroom. Mm-hmm. They have drink kiosks, maybe like at the turn.
Yeah. So
one spot.
My next automation is it's right on brand with Mitch's here. At the beginning of your round, you're in the clubhouse and you buy a special cup from the clubhouse. You rent it and it measures your drink. And as soon as you are about 1/3 left in your drink, Bevcart knows to start making their way to you.
That's pretty smart.
They know if there's ice in there.
What if you're down bad on the course and you just start chugging?
Well, then they come running because they know the level of your cup. And it can be measured as a group if
you
want.
Does that require more employees for the golf course?
Maybe.
Like, because if it's a full course and everyone has one of these cups.
Yeah. But think about how much easier that is for the Bev cart. Like we don't have to do the awkward wave thing. And if you don't have the red or green towel to signal if you need a drink, they know if you need a drink.
And your credit card is already hooked up to the cup itself. You tie your credit card in with the cup. Once the cups return, your credit card gets wiped out of there.
It makes a tap for you with the same card you paid for the round with.
And then you can't forget your card at the clubhouse.
You tip at the end?
Yep.
Or no, the tip is just the cup rental fee. Mm. So it's like $20 to rent the cup with... You obviously got to pay for the refills, but the $20 bucks is like the tip.
Yeah.
Or you can tip at the end. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to overcomplicate this thing.
No, so like if you... have automatic greenskeepers, you open the door for more Bev carts. All these Bev carts are linked and it's like a cop system, right? Like, this is cart number 4 through the group. I'm headed to the 6th tee box.
And I feel like you can pay a Bev cart driver less because they're making tips. It's kind of like a server or a bartender, whereas like groundskeepers are not making tips. So you have to pay them an actual, you know.
We should be tipping groundskeepers.
Yeah, we should.
Like if they put the cup in a good spot, there should be a tip jar.
For the groundskeeper?
Yeah.
Or like they put it in a good spot or like the greens are playing really pure today. You can tip them for that.
That's when groundskeepers really know like, all right, like the boys loved this pin placement today. And it's men's night on Thursday or women's night on Tuesday. I'm putting this in the same spot next Thursday so the boys can enjoy themselves a little bit more.
Yep.
That's what we should do is we should tip greenskeepers.
I think there should be, that's not automated at all. This is just a golf innovation. There needs to be a tip jar for the greenskeepers.
Yeah, I would agree. Or like they put the pin like in a funnel on the green. So like your chance of a hole in one are a lot better.
Yeah. Well, and I think like then that can also like hole in ones. This should be something for the greenskeepers too. Because you don't get that unless they put the cup there.
Yeah, I would agree.
If you've got hole in one insurance, they get a part of it.
Yeah.
I would agree. That's a good one.
Yeah.
My next automation, I think that could possibly work again down the road, is club fittings. Where
it's close to that right now with it, you doing it on the measures your swing and stuff like that.
It is close, but you have somebody standing next to you, watching your swing, watching your tendencies, looking at your data, and then setting you up with the proper clubs. But I think all that person's doing is looking at data. So why not plug that data into a system? You have every single club imaginable accessible, and it basically like it, you know, it can like, I don't know, it can change out head, like club heads for you. It can change out shafts for you. It's like, it's almost like the claw machine where it builds you a new club based off your data. It lets you hit 10 times with that club and then you switch it out.
Maybe you do it like a monthly subscription. So that way, like, if you like show up once a month and as your swing adjusts throughout the season, your club gets readjusted.
They kind of have something similar with drivers. Like
they have a driver subscription.
Yeah, like every month you get a new one and you try out like three or four throughout the summer and then you pick which one you want.
Or you can just buy the one that like you can buy the first one you try.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so there is something kind of like that, but this would take it to the next level.
Right, because it's fitted to you.
Yeah.
It's a constant fitting.
This one is like the current one is just them throwing a bunch of darts and then picking whichever one works.
However, on the other side of the things, it is nice to be able to chat with a professional and ask them about certain things with your swing. It's kind of like a mini lesson is what you're getting at a club fitting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get that with automation. However, I think it can push a lot more people through the door. Maybe someone who doesn't want to talk to a professional. They just want to like see what clubs they get. And you can get clubs from a $500 set all the way up to a $5,000 set.
Mm-hmm.
And you can maybe put your budget in there too. You can put your budget into the machine and say, like,
hey. Takes that into account. Like, hey, like, all right, this is the best we can do for you with this price mount.
Yes.
Price point.
Yes.
Boom.
I'm chill with that as long as there isn't any human interaction whatsoever that can skew that system and make it so that they're trying to screw me over.
Yep.
Because you know me, I do not trust. It's tough to get my trust.
Yep. And how can you trust a machine if you can't trust a person?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Damn.
Sweet.
Okay. You guys got anything else?
I don't know how they do it, but I want somebody to fix my divots for me and my pitch marks.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Especially
either.
If you take a fat beaver tail and it goes like 30 yards. You know, I'm just so lazy. I don't want to walk up there and get it.
Maybe just put sand in it.
Yeah, there is sand, but it's not automated. But also, and then that beaver tail just lays on the fairway forever.
And I think some courses don't want you to replace divots. They'd rather you replace it with new seed.
I think you're supposed to do both.
Seed underneath?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
fills
that.
Fills in the gaps.
I've never heard of that before.
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Could be wrong. I do think starters and marshals can easily be automated.
Yeah, I like the courses where the starter is the dude in the clubhouse talking through a speaker instead of guy at the tee box. Like, where the hell is the Ziegler group? And it's like,
or,
we're right fucking here.
Yeah, I mean, you can have that. But also, you get a receipt for your round at the clubhouse.
Yeah.
They're, like parking garages, for instance, or airports, they have little kiosks that you can get a ticket from and then you put a ticket back in. So you have a barcode on your receipt from paying for your round.
Mm-hmm.
When the time comes, you put that receipt into the little kiosk at tee box number 1 or tee box number 10, wherever you're starting. And it tells you, it's like red and green light. It's red. if the group in front of you is not far enough out, and it turns green when it's your turn to go and your tee time
like,
is start.
For like blind tee boxes too, that would be really nice.
Well, just anything, because some people get a little too antsy on hole number one. They want to hit. There's no way I can reach these guys, and they pipe one down the middle. And hit into a group.
Well, I'm really big on that. Like blind tee boxes, I always wait way too long. Mm-hmm. Like they're off the green. But I'm like, I don't want to hit them.
And some of them have red and green lights.
Yeah, but no, the groups in front of you never remember to flip that switch.
No.
It's like, and then it ends up being on a timer. And if homeboy loses the ball and they take forever, you don't know if they're there or not.
Yep, exactly.
What I do like is the ones that have mirrors. The mirror like can see over the hill. Yeah. And so you can check the mirror to see if they're gone. But some sort of system, like again, GPS, like let you know if they're out of the way. That's what, when Grandpa and I were playing at Craigan's, they had that to let you know if the group ahead of you was out of your range or not.
Interesting.
So it's like, are you safe or not? You check the GPS on the board and you're like, we're good.
Sure.
They're on the green.
I do think automating the marshals can save people from a lot of anger before they start their round. Because again, we've talked about asshole marshals out there and there are some phenomenal marshals out there, but there's also some assholes.
Yes.
And that kind of sets the tone for your round going forward. Also, a lot of people just don't like being told what to do.
Yes.
Don't tell me when I can go. How about a machine just does it for me?
Yeah.
So I can't talk back to a machine, but I'm not going to, this is hypothetical. I'm not talking back to a marshal. I'm just going to follow his instructions. Yeah.
I'll talk shit about him on the podcast, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot more personal, though.
You can't argue with a machine.
Yeah.
It just tells you what it is.
So here's my problem with the majority of our pitches. Like the club fitting ones, I'm cool with. The my drink one, I'm cool with. The score keeping one, I'm in between on. I think the human interaction is really important for golf. Like I know there are asshole marshals, but the good marshals, like you said, can set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And the greenskeepers, I don't want them to lose their jobs. The kid picking up the balls, I love the human interaction of golf. Good, bad, or otherwise, I think it does help the game. Like, think about how much less we'd have to talk about without the human interaction in this on our podcast.
You ever been to a restaurant where like the manager or the owner walks around and just asks people how their food is?
Mm-hmm. Love that.
We need greenskeepers to start walking around and ask people how the greens are rolling. How are the fairways playing today? Tee boxes up to standard. Oh, you really like that green on number four? Okay, yeah, we'll take that. Especially like maybe like membership clubs, country clubs, whatever. I think that'd be a nice little touch.
Yeah.
Head greenskeeper walking around asking people how things are going.
Mm-hmm. I'm with that 100%. That's like half the fun for me is what's going to happen with other groups, what's going to happen with the pros, what's going to happen with the marshals. Like, it's a little bit of a mystery. Like, you go to a course, you're like, oh, this guy's got a shitty marshal. I wonder what we're going to get from him today. Then you go up, and then he's in like a good mood, and he's like, all right, have fun, guys. And you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Or he's shitty to you, and then you and your buddies have something to talk shit about your entire round.
Yep.
You're like, oh, I'm going to tee off at that marshal in the next hole.
Keeps your mind off your score.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get.
So I do think we got to keep the human element somehow. I do love that. I think that's important for golf. But these automations, we are headed to them, whether we like it or not.
Well, in the open air simulator, there's no human interaction that even has to deal with that. Ball picker, there's no human interaction that has to deal with that.
I just don't want the kid to lose his job. That's like his summer gig, you know.
He's moving to greenskeeping.
Yeah.
Unless the automated ball picker can also mow fairways and mow greens and aerate greens and cut new pins and shit like that.
Yeah.
So,
or he's the tech service guy for that.
Yeah, but what 15-year-old driving the freaking gator around is a tech genius?
He doesn't fucking care. He's looking to collect his $15 an hour and go spend it on backwoods or Swisher Sweets, so him and his buddy can head out by the dike next to the river.
That's 18-year-olds, not 15-year-olds, guys.
Yep,
buying Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, so they can get their liter of Mountain Dew and play video games.
Now, speaking of greens and cutting pins and all that kind of stuff, update from last show. So we talk about graveyard gimmies, right? Anything 6 feet and under. I think it adds a cool new element in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I want to give him credit for giving us this answer. Wyatt Hahn, he said that the flag stick is 6 feet tall.
Oh.
So anything inside the flagstick is a graveyard gimme.
Really?
That yeah, seemed, I did not know that.
Seems way taller than 6 feet.
It does. Because I'm almost 6 feet exactly. And the flag is in the hole, and I feel like it's taller than me.
And I have no...
And I'm not I one cannot, of those... I'm taller than that, but I always say 6 because then people aren't going to be like, oh, he's fucking 5'8".
Yeah,
I'm not.
I don't know. I don't know if the flag stick is actually 6 feet. He sounded pretty confident in it, so I'm going with it.
We can test it out.
Can we look
time.
It up?
Yeah.
What's the length of a flag stick? I don't really know. How do we not know this is the question?
I don't know.
Because it's got to be pretty standard, like...
Oh, the USGA recommends a golf flag stick height should be at least 7 feet tall, measured from the bottom of the flag stick in the ground to the top of the stick.
See, that means I told you it was taller than
the
me.
The whole portion of the flag stick is 7 feet, but it's...
It looks more like 6 feet, 8 inches.
So you
that,
know-
okay, that means the visible portion of the flag stick isn't 7 feet. It's more like 6 feet, 8 inches.
So you know what Wyatt was doing right there? He was being a fucking bro. He was giving us an extra foot of gimme, trying to make us think it was only 6 feet.
Because unless we're playing tape measure golf, we don't have a tape measure to measure the flag stick out. We're just going to believe Wyatt that it's 6 feet.
Hey.
And actually, we're getting 7 foot gimmies.
Hey, what a bro, Wyatt. We appreciate that. Thank you for the extra foot. From here on out, we will never fact check again. It is 6 feet, guys. The flag is 6 feet long.
So if you and your buddies want to go out and play graveyard gimmies, just lay the flag stick down.
Mm-hmm.
If it's inside the stick, goodbye me.
So 6 feet is actually probably from like the bottom of the actual flag to the end. That's about a foot.
Yep.
The flag itself.
Yep. But goodbye me.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
That's all we got.
Let's wrap this bad boy up.
Episode 110. Guys, as always, love you all. Thanks for tuning in. This is a fun one for us. This is Golf Innovations of the Week is back. Actually, Future Golf Innovations of the World is today's segment.
The machines are going to take over. This is the iRobot episode.
Let us know if you agree, disagree, any more automations or non-automations that you think can be made in the game of golf. Send the podcast to your group chat with your golf buddies in it. Go check out Carl's Place. Get your swings in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Head over to wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a review. We appreciate all that. And thanks again for listening in to episode 110. See you next week.
Laters.
Bye.
Hell, that's a breakfast ball.